You're listening to BHT Radio with Rupert Bell.
And a very warm welcome as we look back over 2 days of quite outstanding dressage competition here at the Defender Burley Horse Trials here on BHT Radio on 87.7 FM. An incredible 2 days of competition. So many high-class tests that has left Ross Cantor at the top of the tree, first and second, with not only Isolot DHI, who was brilliant yesterday, but then Lordship's Graffalo smashes it out of the ballpark as well to be in second. But it's set up so magnificently. And to reflect on the next 45 minutes or so, I'm delighted to say Ben Way, who's interviewed every single rider, I think, bar maybe one or two. But anyway, Ben Way, Bobby Haler, who I know has watched every single test. But also alongside us, that we start this look back over 2 days, Emily King, who started the second day. I'm sure she didn't watch 65, 66 tests because she was only interested in her own. But Emily, welcome to the programme. You started day two, lovely sunny skies now, but your horse just, again, was absolutely stunning. Was that a, did it feel like a PB?
Thank you, Rupert. You know, Valmy felt, he was really cool and calm, and I think it was actually, he's a very sensitive, powerful horse, and I think actually it was a great time of day for him to do his test, because the, like, arousmataz of the grandstand maybe hadn't built up quite like it was this afternoon, and a little bit cooler, and, you know, he felt, it was very fluent, and yeah, it did feel lovely, but it's always nice to look up at the scoreboard at the end and realise that they were, you know, you were on the same page with how it felt.
Well, Bobby, far more expert eye assessing it. It was a good test. It set the tone for the day, actually, didn't it, Bobby?
It really did. You set a standard, Emily, and it was really lovely to be able to sit and watch. And the biggest thing that we took away from it was the amount of time you had when you were out there. And you could see that you were enjoying it. You know, you were very, very accurate. You really set it up well. And, you know, did you come away thinking, yeah, that was the test. That was great.
Yeah, I did. I absolutely that. And it was actually probably the nicest five-star test I've ridden, as in the pattern of the test, because it definitely did allow exactly that, time to breathe and rebalance them between each movement. And, yeah, with Valmy, he's so strong and powerful, and he, like, you do your first halt and you move into trot, and it just feels like he's going out the start what was cross country, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You got to really, like, talk to him the whole time. And so I find it always a balance with, I love going in and, like, trying to show them off and really get every mark, but if I ride too much like that with him, he just gets so hot and quick and strong. So to me, I was, like, really trying to aim for fluency and consistency and just bob on accuracy, and try, if anything, slightly take a bit of a, not a slower approach, but not go for it so much, because mm-hmm. in the past I've come out, I thought it was fab, but actually it's been a little bit rushed, a little bit quick, and then there's been little wiggles. And I think it was a test that so tested their precision, you know, all those three quarter line shoulder ins, the angles had to be so precise. And actually then for the first time it did feel like that, exactly that with him in there, that I did have a bit of time and I could breathe and balance between each movement. And yeah, I was really pleased with how he coped.
Because the biggest thing that we thought when we read the test, I mean, the three of us sat down and we were like, what? Where are they going? What are they doing?
When I first read it, I was reading it and I got Sam to read through it. I was like, Sammy, can you just read this to me? Because I'm so... You go down and you don't go off an extended trot or medium trot. You just trot along the long side and you do a half 15. And then it's like, doesn't really match up. But then actually, it's quite nice. It, like, gets you in the flow quite simply in a way, which nearly is such a hard test for the fit five-star horses, because they're trotting along the long side, like, is this all we're doing? And you just turn a circle, and then that, like, from the walk we go into trot, from the trot you go into canter, you have no walk canters, you have no, and it's actually really tests how much they're listening, and, yeah, I suppose the obedience and the precision you can create.
Now, obviously, that job's done now.
Forget that.
You're in a good position. But sitting, looking at my list, you're sitting in fourth spot. Not a million miles behind Ross, who's just greedily taking first and second spot, but we'll forgive that. And then Tim Price and Vitali. But for you, look, I don't know how many times you've walked the course we're talking now, but I imagine you've probably done 10 course walks, had people, you've given your opinion to everybody as well, you've done one or two sponsor duties. But when you first walked it, give me your immediate impression when you first walked it and completed that walk.
Yeah, when I first walked it, I thought it's, yeah, those first, the first combinations, actually, the arena was very hard for me on my first walk because I was doing all three and I was trying to work out my angle to the third element. Turns out that's not the correct, you only jumped the first two. So then it was quite nice to hear I only did the first two. And then the valley, the Coffin Valley, the Leaf Pit, that I was like, this is proper, this is a proper question. And I to me it was like the first quarter is proper serious burly action, and then it's still as testing, but if anything different questions, you know, real accuracy and yeah, agility, making sure they're listening, they have enough in the tank. And so I've stayed feeling like that the more I've walked it. I think you have to ride the first section like you're halfway through the course, you're stuck in, you're doing it, you're riding perfectly, but also you have an immediate backup plan if the A element of a combination doesn't quite go to plan. I'm lucky going a little bit further, you know, halfway through the field, that I'll be able to watch a few in the morning and just see how the horses are reading certain combinations, like if the Leaf Pit is, if they're picking up that line or the direct route.
So basically, get through Defender Valley second time, then you think, yeah. I'm not saying you're going to switch off, because there's still plenty of things to think about, but that's like, right, now we've just got to make sure we keep concentrating, we have every chance of getting round, and hopefully as near as the optimum time, if not inside it, as possible.
We'll give it a shot.
But I mean, I don't know what the mood is like down in the riders, your fellow riders, but I think everyone does think we know we're at a Burley.
100%. I mean, he's built a fantastic track, and like really, you know, he hasn't tried to sort of trick the horses or, you know, been over, like, you know, overstretching them, but there's serious just accuracy and bravery questions just placed all around the course, and used the terrain so well that we have, and I mean, we've got to really, I think, you know, feel how they're feeling and ride the terrain with, you know, how the horses are feeling, and just that's something we can't really prep for. We've got to be on our toes to adapt enough when we're going around it.
Are you as excited going into this weekend with this horse who's done you proud as you've ever been at a five star, going, right, this is a real opportunity, or are you trying to put that all aside?
I'm really competitive, but I think he's on great form. He's had some really good runs this autumn and some quick competitive runs, which hopefully will put his fitness in really good stead. And that's it. I've had a few five-star runs. It's nothing like just going around five-star and learning what to do. I'm still, you know, very young, probably very naive compared to these old pros, but I will certainly be trying to give it my best shot and fill Valmy with the confidence that he needs to reflect back to me.
Walking it again tonight?
Yes, actually going with Chris Bartle after here. I think Ros and I are doing a walk with Chris to get his pearls of wisdom.
Okay, not bad. Not a bad person to get pearls of wisdom from. But Emily, best of luck. We really enjoyed your test earlier on Friday. That's Emily King, who will be walking the course with Ros. And she just mentioned there, Ros, because she, of course, is in first and second. And then we'll get some thoughts of Bobby and Ben once we've heard from Ros, who rode Lordship's Graffalo and is currently in second spot. Couldn't match the score of Isolot with the 19.9, but she's still in a very strong position with this horse in second. And it was an excellent test. And Ben Way was around to talk to her after her test.
So with us now Ros Cantor. Ros, you've just pulled off a 22 dressage with Lordships Graffalo to put you into first and second spot. You've got to be absolutely thrilled with that test.
Absolutely delighted, yes. Yeah, you know, I was delighted with Paris and everything else, but I knew we could do better, to be honest. So the last couple of weeks, after we'd had a bit of a break, we've been kind of trying to work out, you know, what it was I was struggling with and things like that, and really, you know, just had a light bulb moment about 7 days ago on straightness. Yeah. Got straight, the whole thing, so much easier. It's amazing that, isn't it?
And looking forward to tomorrow?
Yes. Yes.
Good, good. Perfect. Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Very good.
Well, very calm, Ros there, reflecting on what is a really terrific 2 days, and very pleasant viewing when she looks at the leaderboard. Bobby Haler is alongside me, Ben Way, and we'll also have a quick word with Harry Payne, who was part of our team as well, assessing it. So first up, Bobby, you've heard from Emily, but now let's assessing Ros's performances over the 2 days. Just how good were they? And Harry, your thoughts as well.
So for me, and I've said it numerous times today, is the pure fact that Ros is in a league of her own when it comes to test riding and the way she's presenting these tests. I mean, how many riders in history have we had that they've had their two horses in first and second? I mean, that's a stat for you there, Rupert, that you'd have to have a little look. I mean, it's not happened every year, does it? So for me, it really highlights that the quality of that test was absolutely huge. And I think you'd agree with me there, Harry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think she's got the horses in first and second. And from what I could see, I think they're in the right order. Isolots was, I mean, just lovely. So consistent. And Graffalo, again, I mean, a really well-presented test. Has to be to get that mark. But for me, possibly not as easy in the mouth, perhaps, in places, as Isolot was. But, I mean, two really super well-presented tests on, you know, really well-trained horses.
Well, she sits in first. Ben, you were there watching or talking to her afterwards. Does just take it all in her stride, doesn't she? Nothing phases her. That calmness enables her to be such a cool performer.
Yeah, no, she's amazing at how she sort of analyses things and compartmentalizes things. She said to me earlier, you know, this evening she's going to go back and, you know, Chris and Ziggy are coming up to have a normal evening in the lorry, you know, being a mum and actually, you know, and take her mind off. You know, she'll walk the course with Chris, like with Emily in a minute, but then after that, it's, you know, she's being a mum and just forgets about Burley for the evening.
But tomorrow, obviously, a big test for her. In third after... we know that in third spot is, Emily King's in fourth. My leadership board's just deserted me, when I needed it. Tim Price is the next person we can hear from, because Vitali is the horse who was last to go last year, world record, or a Burley record of 18.7. Didn't match that on Friday, but still is very much in the hunt, sitting in third, and this was Tim's reaction to his test.
So with us now, our final rider of the day, we've got Tim Price. Tim, just finished your test with Vitali, 22.3. Pleased with that?
Yes, very pleased. Can't quibble a 22, can I? So really, really good. I actually found him, it was more conventional this time. You know, everyone sees what goes on in the ring, but last year he was really funny out here.
You look very settled out here, yeah.
And this was just nice and normal, and so I could just be a bit more conventional with our preparation, and went in, and he did what he does so well, which is a nice flowing test. And you know, to pick a few holes here and there is doable. I can think of little bits and bobs, but he tried really hard and he was really good fun.
Obviously, two rides tomorrow. Have you got very different plans for them, or are they quite similar horses?
No, not at all. One's very experienced and jumps through the flags, and the other one's green and doesn't know who he is or what he is yet. Yeah. I'm still trying to explain that to him.
So different plans.
Different plans, yeah. Viscount Victor, I don't think he's won a novice in his life, let alone anything. But that's nothing against the horse. I've got him here for a reason, and I believe in him a lot. I think he's going to be an amazing five-star horse. So it's just to give him a good experience, and maybe it could be a little bit faster if it's feeling good. And I haven't really made a proper plan of options and things like that. And then Vitali's Vitali. You know, he's been there, got the T-shirt. I just want him to go and look after him and do the job and be quick and come home good.
Good. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks. See you tomorrow.
They're talking about Viscount Victor, his other horse, who was one of the 18 combinations, another one of the 18 combinations to get a sub 30 score. 29.5, still a young horse. Vitali on 22.3. What do you make then of Tim Price? Was it, you know, it's always hard to back up an 18.7. These are not machines, but still, 22.3, still classy enough.
Yeah, really, really classy. I think a little bit for me today, he didn't quite have the same quality in the flying changes that I've seen with him in the past. Of course, now with the coefficients, it's quite important. I think, you know, it was really nice, but Roz showing them that little bit more cadence, that little bit more fluency through the body, it made a little bit of a difference seeing Vitali's day. I don't think he was as free through the shoulders what we've seen before in the past.
No, from what I can remember from last year, for me, he wasn't quite as loose in the back and the canter as he was last year, which, as you said, it affected. He wasn't quite as through and expressive in the changes as he can be.
Interestingly, Tim was talking afterwards, and he was saying actually how much more relaxed the horse was before. He said last year was so... This year, so relaxed. Or do you think that sometimes that bit of tension could just give you a bit more punch through a change?
I think you can get a positive tension. And I think last year, although he perhaps was a bit tense, it ended up being a positive tension that actually brought him up, and it was done in a really controlled way. But I mean, hey, picking it. Like, he's still done a blooming good test. He's still got nearly 80%. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, obviously, we heard from Emily already and Valmy Bietz. They're in fourth on 24.1. You can hear how much she enjoyed that when she was talking to us and how excited she is about the cross-country phase. But I tell you what, let's now hear from another rider who really had a terrific test. And it's Monica Spencer, the New Zealand rider, because she's in a tie for fifth on the same score as Oliver Townend on 24.4, and it was some test, as we can hear as she spoke to Ben after she scored 24.4.
So with us now, our first rider following the lunch break, we've got Monica Spencer, who just finished a test with Artist, 24.4. One frustrating moment, obviously, but the rest of it was seriously smart.
Yes, I was having so much fun out there, I went the wrong way, so I'm disappointed with myself, but thrilled with the horse.
Because, I mean, you know, he's a thoroughbred horse, isn't he? And he ran, but he's such a big mover. He's, you know, he's so established on the flat. You've done an amazing job with him.
Thank you. Yeah, he's a real trier, and his best attribute is how trainable he is. So he just keeps getting better and better, so I'm excited.
A nice to be sat on a thoroughbred horse tomorrow. You know, Burley's a stamina test.
Yes, I wouldn't rather be on any other horse.
And do you like the look of the course?
I mean, like's a strong word. Yeah. I'm terrified, but I'm sure once I leave the start box, I'll find some bravery. And
what made you want to come over here? You know, obviously you've done Maryland, but just come over and tick the Burley box?
Yeah, well, I've done Maryland and I've done Kentucky. I was seventh at both of those, so looking to improve on that here. And everyone keeps telling me I've got a Burley horse, so it's time to find out.
We'll know more tomorrow. Good luck.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people wishing her well on board Artist, who, if my memory serves me right, is a former racehorse, but has certainly done well to finish seventh in both Maryland and Kentucky. It means there's some talent there. To come over here, she's obviously, as we heard talking to Ben, you know, this means a lot. This is more than just a box-ticking exercise, but she's in a competitive position.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, an absolutely brilliant job. It is a shame that she slightly forgot where she was going, which is a slight shame. We have to talk about it. I tried not to talk about it, but I mean, she would have done even better if she hadn't.
She's going to be kicking herself.
She's going to be kicking. We're going to have to talk
Ashley,
about it. I mean,
was,
come on.
It was a
but she's never,
a beautifully
ever going to do that again. Like,
one
ever.
Hopes not.
Like, ever in that test. Like, she's not going to do it again. Like, once you go wrong in that spot, she's not going to go wrong twice in that spot, is she? So, annoying. She kicked herself, but still to get that score with going wrong, it just shows how beautiful the test was.
Ben, what did you make of it? Were you brave enough to ask?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, and she was cross with herself. But actually, you know, it's just going to show the rest of the test was so smart. And it's really good that we see these American riders come over here. When America put on, you know, when they introduced Maryland, there was always a risk that we weren't going to see some American riders here for these autumn. You know, Kentucky always draws away from Badminton. We were worried that Maryland would draw away from Burley. And it just goes to show these riders. You know, it costs 25, 30 grand to fly a horse over here. And actually, it just goes to show these riders, you know, these British five stars are so iconic, and they're so unique in their way. It's amazing to see these American riders, you know, stumping up the money and coming over here to have a crack at it.
Well, it's, you know, it is. It's more than just a box ticking exercise. It's like getting into the ultimate major in whether it be golf, tennis, whatever. It's these are special, and fair play to Monica. But a man who knows what he's doing in these events on a regular basis, he's a defending champion, he's Oliver Townend. He's on the same score as Monica, 24.4. And again, he spoke to Ben after his test.
Right, so joined now down in the mix zone by Oliver Townend, who has just finished his test with Cooley Rosalind. 24.5, puts you into third. Got to be pleased that's a start?
Yeah, very good. Obviously only a 10-year-old, and she's had an exciting life so far. The last two times she was in a big arena was Kentucky and perhaps Blenheim and Maryland. So, you know, going into an atmosphere like that, she's getting to know the crowd and the job, and you never know which way they're going to react, and she did very, very well.
Because she seems to develop more and more movement there, doesn't she, in elevation, and she's, you know, becoming so smart.
Anymore, and I will be struggling to sit on it, and you definitely couldn't, Ben.
So,
I put the gear away.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that. Now, looking forward to tomorrow. You know, if you want any tips on this course, I'll give them to you. It's fine. Like, look at the course?
Yeah, serious. It looks... And this isn't a complaint, but it looks more and more like Kentucky every year, which is bound to happen with the same course designer. She's jumped around some big tracks before, and I'm just going to ride her positively and try and look after her best I can, and hope she learns a lot on the way, and hopefully we come home with a good result.
Good on, Monica. Good luck. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
That's Oliver Townend. This is a horse, you know, still young, still talented, and coming and impressing. How good do you think that test was?
It was really, really good. And I said quite a lot during the test how much I really liked the mare. I mean, apart from that one flying change, it was really, really good. I mean, what she comes into the arena and she absorbs the arena. You have to look at her. She's really got a lot of presence, and I really, really like her.
The way she uses herself, like the way she moves, the way she articulates her joints, actually, she just makes a really nice, impressive, expressive picture.
Yeah.
So... summing up, I know when I was speaking to you on Thursday morning, and we actually heard Emily reflecting on it, the sort of discussions that you and Richard Davison were having and trying to work out the nuances of this new test, it seemed to me that the writing made it more confusing for the competitors because they lapped it up.
Absolutely. I mean, the way it's written slightly on the test sheet, I think we might have been doing a talking thing when Ben and I spoke about it. It's not always the easiest thing. They add the letters in there that don't need to be in there. So when they add those, it gets very confusing. So if they just didn't put them in there, it would be a lot easier. But yeah, like we've seen the last 2 days, and like Emily was saying there, it's very rideable. And actually, it's giving the riders time for the preparation. And I think it's actually highlighting when they have the rideability and when they don't, and what to work for going forward in the sport.
Harry?
Yeah, I mean, I think the test is a good move. It's if the horses are well trained and they're supple, it's actually a really horse-friendly test. Trying to learn it on paper, I agree with Bobby, was challenging. But actually, having watched it ridden, it rides far, far better than it reads. And I like the weighting on the changes. Actually, for me, they're event horses. The canter is really important. It makes far more sense to me to be putting a coefficient on an event horse's canter than on its walk.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you as part of our team. Obviously, would you like to ride the cross-country course, Bobby?
I think that I will watch and learn. I think that would be my angle of that.
Harry?
There would have been a day when I would have said yes, but actually that day has passed.
Okay. Well, I know we've enjoyed listening to you here on BHT Radio. Thank you for your company over these last 2 days. Ben Way is still with me as we continue our reflections. Tell you what, next to hear from Jureg Lacoste on Esprit de la Loge, who is a very popular horse and also produced a fabulous test, and that's why he is in seventh.
So we're now joined by Jureg Lacoste. Just finished your test on Esprit de la Loge. Might have got that right, hopefully. 25.3 into third, you've got to be thrilled.
Yes, it's my best test, so I'm very happy. It's been very good recently, and I didn't run at the Olympics. I was a reserve, so I wanted to go well. I want to go well here. I have ambitions for the week, and I think it's a great start. You felt really confident and very good.
And looking forward to tomorrow. Have you sort of got a plan in place by now? Where, you know, what route you're taking? Initial thoughts on the course?
I think I go direct route everywhere, just to see for the leaf peak at the beginning, because it's really difficult. So I have time to see other riders to go before me, and if it causes too much trouble, then I go around maybe. But except that, I think I'm happy to sit on a horse like him, so that's good.
Great stuff. Good luck. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
So that's Chirag Le Cos on Esprit de la Loge. A very popular horse. Good horse, too. So a nice test, but obviously big test on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's a very smart cross-country horse, so we'll be looking forward to that. And actually, Chirag is an event, one of those event riders that looks like a dressage rider. He sits beautifully, creates a lovely picture. So, yeah, he's a really solid mark to start off. And it's funny, we're talking about some of these riders as to, you know, how the mark they've got in the dressage, how it affects the mindset in which they go out cross country. And actually, if you're one of those people, you know, one of the, what is it, 18 people on a sub 30 mark, you really go out, I think, and it really sets you up for a really attacking round cross country.
Are you surprised to see 18 sub 30 when you looked at the field at the start of the week?
I think yes, but as we said earlier this morning, it's created a bigger range, and I think those horses that can come out, who are established on the flat and can nail the changes, end up on the sub 30.
Well. A horse and a combination trying to only become the fourth in the history of the sport to achieve not only winning badminton but Burley in the same year. It was last done in 1989 by Ginny Lenk. She actually did it twice, and Lucinda Green did it in the 70s. But Caroline Powell won badminton earlier this year. She's on board Great Acre Special Cavalier, and she's opened up with an excellent 25.4. So the dream is very much on. Here she is talking to Ben.
So, joining us now, the first rider after the morning break, we have Caroline Powell. Caroline, just finished your test on Green Acres Special Cavalier. 25.4, puts you in third spot. Got to be pleased with that for a start to the week.
She's pretty cool at the moment, isn't she? She's an out-and-out professional. She just goes in and she does a job. And, you know, we've been really lucky. We've had Tracy and, you know, we personally use her, and Gareth with the New Zealand team. So, you know, there's been a lot of work gone into it, and she remembers. She loves it. She adores it.
Because when you shave five marks off her badminton test?
Yeah, but she's, you know, 5 years, she's just more mature. She's better, and she just loves it. She now knows what the crowd are there for, and they're obviously all there for her. So, you know, it's fine.
Good. And then looking forward to tomorrow, we're well into the week now. You've got a good chance, a few walks around. Thoughts on the course?
Yeah, the leaf pit's pretty beefy. Haven't quite made up my mind what we're going to do there. You know, the whole way around, it's just quite relentless. And I think, you know, if we can sort of just take each jump in each section as it comes, then we'll be fine. There's plenty of places there just to get quick little breathers in. So, it's good. I would just like to say one little thing is one of my girls at home got kicked in the face yesterday, and she's getting operated on today. So speedy recovery, Alison. Don't be too long. Bad way of getting time off.
Good one, thank you.
Thanks.
Horses, they are unpredictable, as Caroline alluding to, that you never know when they're going to could cause you an injury. But we wish Caroline's groom a speedy recovery from that incident. But great to see her. Now, this would be spectacular if she did go on to win it. In many ways, almost, I mean, I'm not trying to be, badminton was handed to her. I mean, do you know what I mean? Because other people made mistakes. She did absolutely right. There's nothing wrong. But events conspired, but it's the nature of the sport. You've got to jump the show jumping, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't fluky. But she, you know, other people's mistakes really played into her hand. But with a score like this, she's now in a very competitive position. This could be a different set of circumstances.
She is. I mean, I was not playing it down at badminton, but possibly the quality of the field at badminton was slightly less, which opened up the opportunity to sort of, you know, win from behind, whereas actually possibly the quality of the horses in front of her will make it harder this time. But look, she's in a good spot. Anything's possible.
And overall, looking at some of the others, there are obviously Nicholas Toussaint. He's in ninth, and then a couple of three French riders in the top 10. Fair play. After, of course, they've had the high of hosting the Olympics, but you know, someone like Nicholas Toussaint maybe on with this horse maybe out to prove a point.
Yeah, and it was interesting, you know, some of these riders talking about how, you know, some of these horses we've seen here have run at Versailles, and actually saying that actually those crazy French crowds at Versailles have actually, you know, exposing those horses to that, and then coming in here, they find the Burley Main Arena nothing. You know, but a lot of French people stamping and clapping, and you know, it's done a really good job of sort of conditioning these horses.
Well, actually, the Olympics are a very different vibe, because there are, okay, people who know, but they're sort of non-equestrian enthusiasts that are able to go out, you know, they sort of just wrapped up in the Olympic occasion. So it's a different vibe, isn't it?
We're just going to grab Tim really quickly.
Poor old Tim. Poor old Tim. He wanted to go home.
I had to hang around and wait for Tim for hours.
Tim,
down the
lovely to see you. He's dragged you over here because I wouldn't have seen Tim. Lovely to see you. Happy enough?
Yeah, very happy. I can't complain about a horse trying his hardest for me and delivering a pretty good test.
Well, and then you've got the other one as well. The horse I know you think is a really exciting one.
Yeah, Viscount Victor, 10 years old. It's not his first five-star, but it still feels like experience is where he's at. You know, he's gaining experience and mileage. But he's a really cool horse, and I'm looking forward to a bit of a journey of discovery around there with him tomorrow as well.
And your immediate assessment of the course? I mean, when you first looked at it, you went, "Oh, I think I know where I'm at now." Do you? Is that how you felt?
No, it's a tough course to nut out, and I am quite pleased that I have a few horses to watch before I have to go and do it myself. Because it's a lot of the time, it's about how the horses actually see the course. You know, riders are sitting on top, you know, doing what they do. But I just want to go and watch a few rider and then give my horses the best opportunity to skip around there nicely.
You better go and walk the course, Tim.
All right, mate.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, anyway, there we go. Yeah, you were naughty. You got him over here. You're supposed to go somewhere else there. Yeah, Ben, you naughty boy. But anyway, he's off. He's been dragged away, but, you know, he will have lots of supporters. Now, actually, you go back to that the Versailles experience. Isn't it good, though? Because actually, sometimes in dressage, because of the atmosphere, that's actually what we want in sport, isn't it? Can sometimes the dressage element be a bit precious, as it were, or am I being unkind?
No, I think you're right, and it does. You know, it was an amazing atmosphere over in France, and we saw, you know, the clapping crowds when the horses, even when they were show jumping, halfway the show jumping round, they were clapping, and it's in here. If you can expose horses to that, actually, you know, it really sets them up to come to events like this, and they focus and get on with the job.
Right. Okay. Well, we've had a look. I think it's set up magnificently for the cross-country phase. What's your plans then? Walk the course a few more times or walk the walk to the George?
No, I'm actually going to go home this evening and then back in the morning. But I think, all we've spoken about the last 2 days has been double mark flying changes and the leaf pit. Those have been the two hot points of conversation so far. And it'd be interesting to see. There's always a riders' meeting the night before cross-country, so the riders get together with the ground jury. There's been a little bit of talk behind the scenes today of whether or not they're going to get the old hedge cutter out and just take those, you know, the triple brushes at the leaf pit back a bit and just trim them back a bit, because at the moment there are people, you know, a lot of riders saying that dimensionally they're not sure how these horses are going to read them. And so there's opportunity at these sort of, you know, pre-cross-country night riders' meetings, people to sort of, you know, put their thoughts forward, and I should suspect we will see a few riders saying they probably want to get those trim back a touch.
Well, whatever, it should be a fascinating day. We're really looking forward to what unfolds, and don't forget, we'll be on air from 8 o'clock in the morning. Joe Tunis and Sam Lloyd will be up bright and early to help you in, because obviously can be occasionally traffic. And just keep you informed and obviously here and start our build-up to Cross Country Day. Ben, enjoy your evening. We will be back from, as I say, 8 o'clock. I'm Rupert Bell, but now we're going to end with Ginny Howe's guide to this year's Cross Country course. Well, Ginny, the first, I suppose, real test is when you come out of the main arena and coming down to Fence 5 and in the area, the sort of complex around Defender Valley.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get the first experience of the terrain here. Burley is something else. And it's very hilly. So you run down the hill out of the main arena. And we've got some upright rails at the bottom, which are MIM clip activated. So the horses are going to want to be in a really good balance, sat on their hocks. And riders are going to want to get a good jump over this. Otherwise, they could potentially incur the 11 penalties, which no one wants at this stage in the course. So we jump over the rails, and then you've got the ditch on the angle, followed by the brush, which is also on a fairly acute angle, and a pretty tight turn to the right to head back down the valley. We have got an alternative here, but I think at this stage they don't really want to be taking the alternative.
Now, the riders have come out of their first experience of Defender Valley. Now, this, where we are standing now, is one of the, I suppose, iconic fences at the Defender Burley Horse Trials, the Holland and Cooper Leaf Pit. For a non-rider like me, I just think, what the heck's going on? You've looked at it and gone, Bring it on.
Yeah, certainly it's very iconic here. You asked me about Burley, and this is the fence that springs to mind. It's fairly intense, though, as always. Not only do you have to negotiate a really large drop, which is particularly daunting as you approach it, but we have an A element at the top of the hill, a roll top, and then you want to stay in a good balance, a good canter, come and pop down the Holland Cooper drop, and then your direct route is a C, skinny, right in front of you, but there's a good undulation beforehand, so you really have got to be in balance with your horse. Followed very quickly, I would say about five strides to the DE skinny, and then away. So that's the most direct one, the hardest, obviously, but that would certainly be the quickest. If you wanted to do it slightly easier, you can still jump off the drop, or you've got the alternative. But if you're committed to that, you've got an option to take a wider turn to get to your C element, followed by a treasure chest to another skinny. But this is really time consuming and a lot of jumping efforts for your horse at this stage.
After heading away from Defender Valley, then they go to the Leaf Pit, but then they come back into Defender Valley. And standing next to the first part of it, there's a fairly chunky-looking log to negotiate.
Yeah, there really is. It's pretty large, and it's got a fairly hefty drop on the other side, and that is one thing here at Burley. There's a lot of drops and undulations. So, yes, they've done the main big drop at the Holland Cooper Leaf Pit, and then, yeah, fence 8A over the log, as you said, Rupert, and then you stay on your line, and you've got the B element, which is a fairly hefty size corner. You know, I think most people will be planning to go straight here as the long route is somewhat time consuming. But it's, you know, it's a really good test, but they really need to get a good jump over 8A. But they've got to get out a jail card if the horse leaves a leg.
Well, Jenny, we've now left Defender Valley and we're heading out into the main part of the park, and we headed up to the Trout Hatchery, which I know you have bittersweet memories of, but it is a real examination. What kind of test do you think this is going to provide this year?
The horses need to be bold, accurate and brave into water, ultimately. The first two elements, so 10A and B, relatively straightforward roll tops, but obviously you've got a fairly imposing drop behind. You know, they're not huge roll tops, but you've still got to be really accurate with how you ride. Jump into the B element, over into the water, canter through the water, and then it gets really, really tough. 11A, B and C, there is a really large corner. It's really wide, it's open, it's a brush corner, and it's really imposing. So there you have to jump that, and then you have to be very tight on your line, which is the most important thing. I think we could see a lot of runouts here, and it's a two-stride combination followed by a skinny.
Expecting this particular elements to be really influential, I get the feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think going back to what we have jumped already, then coming to this, it's like question after question. You know, Defender Valley was really technical, Leaf Pit really technical, and then the Defender Trout Hatchery is another question.
Of course, once we've come out of the Trout Hatchery, there are plenty of questions, but you've singled out 18. Why?
So the horses have been having to jump big and bold and brave. And as you get to the bottom of Winners Avenue, there's two fairly sizable upright gates. You know, you want something that's sharp in front here. You can't come galloping to these gates because the horses just need time and they need to make a good jumping effort over these.
This is number 18, A and B, Lemieux Stable Yard. So again, just when you've got the sort of charge up Winners Avenue, you need to make sure you've got energy to getting up Winners Avenue.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people are all going to be out there to make the time, but these two fences, upright gates, need respect.
Well, I suppose it's one of their most iconic fences. For us mere mortals, it looks terrifying. I think it's one, the Cottesmore Leap, that you would describe as a rider frightener. Is that how you would assess it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the most impressive fence. You talk about Burley, and it is this fence, the Irish Horseball Cottesmore Leap. It is absolutely massive. It's huge. I can't even put into words how big this fence is.
But jumping it, is it easier to jump? When you're walking the course, you're looking and going, ooh, but when you actually get to go over it, is it easier than it looks?
I mean, yes, you don't want to get there on a miss. Let's put it that way. You want in really good stride. You don't want to be a mile off because the ditch is wide enough as it is. But equally, you don't want to be right in the base of it. So, yeah, you want a perfect shot here. And then as you fly over, it's like, oh, the best feeling in the world.
Ginny, the final sort of combination of fences that you've picked out, it is the Defender at the Dairy Mound. It's a typical birdie fence. It's all the sort of little nooks and crannies and little slopes here and there. It's so typical of this place.
It really is. Yeah, there's a fairly sizable corner, log corner on top of a mound. So you need to keep the form of momentum because it's big and it's wide. But then equally on landing, you've got to have the control as you go down yet another slope. So there's just so many undulations. And then you get to the ABC element.
And just overall assessing the course, is this really tough? A lot of the riders saying, you know, this is as big as it gets. It's going to be a test. I've heard Tom McEwen say he thinks there'll be three riders inside the time. What's your gut feel looking from the outside?
It's burly, it's big, it's bold. Yes, I would love to say that I would be riding here, but I'm actually quite glad I'm going to be sat in front of the TV screen or listening to the radio to watch it.